Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Listener, let's continue with our teaching titled Prosperity for God's People. I believe that every Christian will enjoy and benefit from this important teaching because it will elevate you to a better financial position in life and cause you to be a greater blessing to others. If you dare to believe and by faith apply the biblical principles we will be discussing throughout this teaching. This teaching is primarily for Christians. This corrupt economical world system that we live under is not designed for Christians to prosper. Satan's evil system is intentionally designed to keep people in poverty, living from paycheck to paycheck, and in financial debt. However, if we take the time to study what God's words has to say about financial prosperity, we will find out that Christians can live above this corrupt economical system that Satan has in place. God's plan for our financial prosperity is not limited by the success of the stock market or who is in control of our White House or if you got that well-deserved salary increase. God will use these channels to bless his people. But remember, God is our source of wealth and not this corrupt world system. God's word clearly tells us that we should not only be wealthy, but financiers of the kingdom of God. Listener, if you receive nothing else from this teaching, I want to make it very clear that poverty is a perversion of prosperity, and Satan is the author of poverty, not God. God's plan for his children is to prosper financially is based on being obedient to God's word, and his prosperity brings no sorrow. This study will consist of six parts. An introduction, part one, poverty, Satan's plan to keep Christians ineffective. Part two, the law of sowing and reaping. These three parts we have finished thus far. Part three, the blessing of Abraham. Part four, how to activate the blessing, and part five, seed, time, and harvest. Listener, if this is your first time with us, we welcome you and ask that you please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the previous episodes of this teaching, now archived under our radio broadcast page. We do not want you to have a gap of information on this critical teaching. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. As a reminder, God's prosperity is not only about money, but it most definitely includes financial wealth. This teaching is not about spiritual prosperity or physical prosperity. These topics are important too and have their place in God's word. But this study is on financial prosperity, which I believe has not been sufficiently taught nor taught according to the Word of God in the church today. Therefore, this biblical study is about Christians claiming their legal right to God's riches on this earth and living in financial abundance. Please note that I will be quoting from the New King James Bible translation unless otherwise stated. Let's continue with part three, the blessing of Abraham. Before I ran out of time last week, I had just started reading from Galatians chapter 3. I was emphasizing that each Christian who has accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord is redeemed from the curse of the law. And this law the Word of God is speaking about was instituted and practiced under the Old Testament. For a summary of this Old Testament practice and why we are no longer enslaved by the law, let's reread Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 14. Then I will skip down to verse 29 to complete this thought on prosperity under the Old Testament and then under the New Testament. Again, Galatians chapter 3, we're going to start with verses 6 through 14. Verse 6 says, "Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, 'In you all the nations shall be blessed.' So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law, to do them.' But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Verse 12, "Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Last verse, verse 29. "And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Family, this is good news for all born again, Spirit-filled Christians under the New Testament. And just to highlight some of the very important points that are made in this passage, I want us to go back to verse number 6. And I want to pinpoint and expound on certain items. So under verse number 6, it says, "Just as Abraham believed God." Now remember, Abraham was not a born-again Christian, but he trusted and was faithful to what God told him to do. He believed God. And as a result of him believing God under the Old Testament, he was accounted as righteousness. And for even more good news, Abraham is today considered the father of faith. The father of faith. So just keep that in mind as we continue to examine each scripture or each verse. Verse number 7. "Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham." Those of us who are now operating under the New Testament in faith, we are considered the sons of Abraham. Now that is excellent news, and I've already highlighted last week why, but I'm going to even add more information regarding this inheritance that Abraham left for us who believe in Jesus Christ. Let's continue. Verse 8. It says, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles." Now, these Gentiles that are identified in verse 8 is all of us Christians, not just those Jews who were promised the blessing, but everyone else who comes after Abraham who believes in the living God. And for us New Testament saints, for those of us who have received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It goes on to say, "By faith, preaching the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying," now here's the key that I want you to remember, "in you," referring to Abraham, "all the nations shall be blessed." All the nations shall be blessed. And when we get further down, as we have seen in previous scriptures, we're going to find out how we were blessed as a result of Abraham's obedience under the Old Testament. Let's drop down to verse number 10. I want to just highlight the one passage that says, "Written in the book of the law." Written in the book of the law, referring to Old Testament. So whenever the Bible just talks about the law, they're referring to the law that was given to Israel under the Old Testament. And it was more than the Ten Commandments. everything that was documented, including all of the rituals that had to be performed in order to please the Heavenly Father, are commandments. So this book of the law had more than 10 commandments. Then we go on in verse 11, it says, but that no one is justified by the law, again referring to the Old Testament in the sight of God, is evident. Remember, every year the people under the Old Testament had to sacrifice, had to bring offerings to the Lord with regards to sin and be atoned for that following year. So remember, we are blessed because every sin, present, past, or future, is already covered in the blood of Jesus, already paid for by Jesus, our Savior and Lord. So let's speak on the last part of verse number 11 that is so very important to us born again believers. It says, the just shall live by faith, not by the law, not by the Old Testament law, but by faith. And that's faith in Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen. Let's go down to verse 13. It says, Christ has being past tense, redeemed us from the curse of the law. It's already a done deal. We don't have to bring any more sacrifices. We don't have to keep the law. All we need to do is come to Jesus and receive the salvation gift by faith and then operate according to God's word. So we are already redeemed. Last verse, verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Notice that that blessing that was on Abraham is going to come upon the Gentiles. It says in Christ Jesus. So that's us. That's us Christians. We are those saints who are in Christ Jesus. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are a saint and in Christ Jesus. So that blessing that is on Abraham can come upon you if you choose to. Remember, we have a free will and we have to choose to receive the blessings God has already provided for us, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, that we might receive. Again, it's up to us individually to receive all the blessings God has provided in Jesus Christ. Then verse 29, it says, and if you are Christ, in other words, if you are under Christ, part of his children because of receiving the gift of salvation, then you are Abraham's seed. You are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, we spoke about this inheritance that Abram left us, but we're going to talk more about that because remember, this teaching is on financial prosperity. And Abraham, who was not a born-again Christian, even though he was faithful, he was still under the law. He received material wealth as a result of his obedience and faithfulness to the Heavenly Father. Based on this passage, we know that receiving Jesus through the gift of salvation, we have been redeemed from the curse. However, there is another important point to see in this passage, and that is that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. In short, we are the Gentiles that are being discussed in this passage. And we are heirs of Abraham's blessing. Let's go to Romans chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 16 and 17. I'm showing you from scripture and verse that the blessing that was upon Abraham is upon us Christians today. And we have a legal right to the financial blessings that God has provided us through Abraham and most definitely through our salvation package in Christ Jesus. So Romans chapter 4, verse 16 and 17 say, therefore, it is faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did exist. Okay, let's continue. I want you to keep that in mind. Brother Abraham was faithful, and God promised him that his seed or generations to come under him would be like the stars in heaven, multitudes, and that includes us Christians in Christ Jesus. We know from the scriptures that Abraham was obedient and trusted God. However, Abraham was not a born-again Christian because Jesus had not yet come into the world to complete his salvation assignment. So how did God bless Abraham for his faithfulness? God could not deal with Abraham spiritually because Abraham was spiritually dead. Remember, Abraham's righteousness was accounted to him for his obedience to the law, whereas under the New Testament, our righteousness is a result of accepting Jesus' salvation gift, which was given to us through God's grace. Family, pay close attention as we are about to find out that one of the many ways God blessed Abraham was with material riches, and further, that Abraham's riches were promised to his seed as an eternal inheritance. Let me highlight that again. His seed has an eternal inheritance. In other words, we, his benefactors, have something, an inheritance that cannot die out. It is eternal, which includes Christians today. Let's start with Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read verses 2 and 3. We're talking about the seed of Abraham with an eternal blessing, and we're about to find out what that includes. Genesis 12, 2 and 3. God is speaking to Abram, aka Abraham. Verse 2 says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's something to shout about, family. I want to point out the obvious, but I do want to highlight these particular phrases so that you can get it down deep in your spirit, man, that you are a blessed person, that you have a inheritance, an eternal inheritance, and it is all good, good, good. Verse 2 says, the end of that verse, you shall be a blessing, speaking about Abraham. You know, time and time again, in fact, every time we come together, I do a little intro before I get into the teaching, and I remind each listener that we are a blessed people, that we are not part of the curse, that we should not be living in poverty, but that we should be under God's plan, and that includes financial wealth. It says again, you shall be a blessing. Verse 3, I want to highlight that last part of the scripture that says, and in you, referring to Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Not only was father of faith blessed, but he passed on that blessing to his seed, which is an eternal inheritance for you and I. God not only blessed Abraham, but promised him that he would be a blessing to all the families of the earth. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this includes us today. Let's also read Genesis chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, and find out what was included in this blessing from God. Genesis 13, 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, then Abram, aka Abraham, went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Verse 2. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Again, very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold.
Abram was blessed with material things. Again, livestock, silver, and gold. Again, I say, Abram was not blessed with spiritual gifts because he was spiritually dead. He was blessed with material wealth for his own sake and so that he could be a blessing to others, his seed. And that includes us Gentiles under the new covenant who are saved in Jesus Christ. Let's continue with Genesis 24, verses 34 and 35. Genesis 24, 34, 35. Abram's servant is giving Rebekah's family a report of his master's great wealth. Verse 34 says, "So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become a great. And God has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys." Listeners, I hope you are paying close attention to these adjectives. The words greatly and great are used to describe how God blessed Abraham. In addition, so that we would not misunderstand how the Lord blessed Abraham, the verse 35 clearly states that the blessing consisted of flocks, herds, silver, gold, male and female servants, camels, and donkeys. In short, the blessing was material riches as a result of Abraham's obedience. All throughout the Bible, we are told of men and women of God who were obedient to God's word and received the blessing of the law. And I have already told you that this promise does not stop under the Old Testament. This blessing is available for us today if we are obedient to do what God says to do in his word. Obedience through faith in God's word is the key to all of the blessings of God. Family, listen carefully. Obedience automatically causes the blessing of God to overtake you. You don't have to run after the blessings. They will run after you and overtake you because your life is lined up with the word of God. As heirs of Abraham, we have a right to claim these blessings, possess them, and make them a part of our inheritance for the generations to come. Amen, amen, and amen. Let's close part three, the blessing of Abraham, with Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. I will be reading out of the Living Bible Translation. Again, Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. This Old Testament passage is addressing people whose occupation was primarily agriculture, and the blessings are illustrated for this type of economy. But just keep in mind that this blessing is for us too, and covers whatever type of commerce you are involved in today. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14 say, "If you fully obey all these commandments of the Lord your God, the laws I am declaring to you today, God will transform you into the greatest nation in the world." Verses 2 through 6. These are the blessings that will come upon you. Blessings in the city, blessings in the field, many children, ample crops, large flocks and herds, blessings of fruit and bread, blessings when you come in, blessings when you go out. Verse 7, "The Lord will defeat your enemies before you. They will march out together against you, but scatter before you in seven directions. The Lord will bless you with good crops and healthy cattle, and prosper everything you do. When you arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you, he will change you into a holy people, dedicated to himself. This God has promised to do if you will only obey him and walk in his ways." Verse 10, "All the nations of the world shall see that you belong to the Lord, and they will stand in awe. The Lord will give you an abundance of good things in the land, just as he promised. Many children, many cattle, and abundant crops. He will open to you his wonderful treasury of rain in the heavens to give you fine crops every season. He will bless everything you do, and you shall lend to many nations, but shall not borrow from them. If you will only listen and obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, that I am giving you today, God will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall always have the upper hand. Last verse, verse 14. But each of these blessings depends on you, not turning aside in any way from the laws I have given you, and you must never worship other false gods. Family, this passage lets us know that the precursor to receiving the blessings of God is obedience. And I want to highlight a few phrases in these 14 scriptures that you and I have to follow if we want to remain in that blessed state. Oh, I'm sorry, family. My time is up. But I do want to remind everyone to come back next Wednesday as we continue with our teaching, Prosperity for God's People. Amen.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.